Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting live tonight from London, England, and transmitted by Skype to the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in Seattle, in beautiful Seattle, Washington. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. During the first hour, we had my good friend Simon Parks coming to us also live from England, and Simon's also, I always enjoy interviewing Simon. He has the most incredible insights about what's going on. We're trying to reach James Redfield now. He's supposed to come on, but if we can't, well, I have another backup, Michael Lund of the Water Revitalizer Company, to come on as well. So I hope we can reach James today. In the meantime, if you could please send lots of prayers to my friend Emily in Seattle. She's a friend of mine. She's had some health difficulties recently, but I know that your beautiful love light and positive energy will really help you. Also, Denise Bartlett is one of the sponsors of this program, and she's a wonderful person who offers hot water healing and life coaching sessions in the Portland, Oregon area. She creates customized water healing products with her structured water, and she also has water workshops, and her website is www.hihado.com. That's H-I-G-H-H-A-D-O.com. She's also a certified Hado instructor, and I urge you to contact her if you'd like to try one of her wonderful Hado water healing products. She writes that Hado can be defined as life force, energy, consciousness of varying frequencies infused in all matter, including the cells of our body and vibrating in our energy fields and throughout the universe. She writes that the dis-ease process in humans is in part related to the negative thoughts we think and the words we speak to ourselves and each other. She says that words and thoughts carry a vibration that imprints on the waters of our bodies, those whom we contact, and even our pets. But with her products and services, Denise aims to help advance the truth of water, human consciousness, and the principle of Hado and structuring water to help support human health and well-being. She can be reached at 425-306-6316, or you can email her at Denise Barrett at HiHado.com. That's D-E-N-I-S-E, period, B as in boy, A-R-R-E-T-T, at HiHado.com. I'd also like to thank the wonderful Puget Sound Computer Repair in Olympia, Washington, for their wonderful support of my program. They do excellent work, and their prices are very reasonable. If you need any help with your computer, please call them at 360-412-1909 or email them at Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at PugetSoundComputerRepair.net. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Michael Lund of AliveWater.com. He's from beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, and he has these specialized water products. Okay, he'll be coming on in just a few minutes. And in the meantime, I'd like to talk about my upcoming trip to Mount Shasta. I mentioned this during my first hour, but I'll be going to Mount Shasta again this year, twice, from July 2nd to July 8th, and again from September 5th to the 11th, 2019. The last time I was there, the Talosians and Adama, the high priest of Mount Shasta, gave me a miracle healing in my eye, where he helped me gain crystal clear vision in my right eye. For many years, I had had blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye, which was 20/50. But during the trip, he asked me if I wanted a healing for my eyes, and I said yes. And it restored the vision in both of my eyes to 20/10 crystal clear eyesight. In 2016, the first time I went to Mount Shasta with a group of people, there was a lady on the trip who had fibromyalgia. And she'd been suffering from it for like 25 years. She'd been on drugs for all those years, and she was tired of taking oxycodone and all these other drugs. And she asked the Talosians for a healing, and so they healed her. They brought her into the hollow earth, bathed her in a bath of golden yellow light. And right after that healing, her fibromyalgia was completely gone, and she hasn't been on drugs ever since. She hasn't needed them. There was another lady who came with me in September 2017. Her name was Tammy from Minnesota. She'd been crippled for the last 25 years and was getting around in crutches and wheelchairs. She came on my trip, was contacted by the Sasquatch late one night at my campsite. If she wanted a healing, she said yes. And I'm not making any of this up. She was in a van an extraterrestrial craft from the hollow earth, and the Talosians hovered above her van. They beamed a light into her van. The top of the van opened up. She was transported, like on Star Trek, into this UFO craft from the Talosians. They replaced her legs. They gave her a new set of legs, put her back in the craft. And the next morning when she woke up, she was running around the campsite. Everyone thought she was on drugs. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said, because she kept yelling, "They healed me, they healed me." And so she, when I finally calmed her down, she explained that that the people from Adama and the people of Telos did give her, they healed her and gave her a new set of legs. So these miracles do happen at Mount Shasta. I can't guarantee they would happen for everyone coming on the trip, but if you have an open mind and would like a healing, please come on the trip with us. The cost is only $200 and includes free camping. If you'd like to go, please send an email to me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. I'm currently in England, so if you do call me, just leave a message and I'll call you back. I have free calling from here, or you can send me a text. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Michael Lund of AliveWater.com in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. Michael, are you there? Well, we'll see if we can bring Mikhail on in the future. Is James there, Eric? Okay, we'll still not be able to reach James. That's okay. I also wanted to tell people that... Good. Mikhail, how are you doing there?
Hey, I'm doing great. I just came in the door just in time for
you. Oh, good. Good, Mikhail. That's great. That's great. Well, we have a little bit more time. My other guest I haven't been able to reach, so you have a wonderful products, Mikhail. Tell us a little bit about your company, Mikhail, and what you do for water.
Okay. Well, I could start with maybe a boring entrance or introduction. I didn't know much about water, or I didn't think about it. I've been fascinated since childhood, though. So sailing and watching the water break at the bow of the ship, and swimming and going on ice flakes or whatever you call it, ice floats in the wintertime with my friends, and out in the forest to do some tiny mini river directions or river engineering as a child, like most children when they have access to nature, yeah. And an interesting thing maybe when I was a child was that I had my pre-teens when I was looking at water anywhere, like on the beach and or in the forest, and I would imagine that I was looking into, from macrocosmos into microcosmos. And I was imagining small people living on a little stone, on a little island, so to speak. And then zoom in and out again. But anyway, fast-tracking up to adulthood, somewhat adult, I was doing an exercise where I was swinging my body, lying on the floor, moving like a goldfish, using a foot shaker from Japan called the Qi Machine, excellent device. But you have to drink a big glass of water before and after. And I was experiencing the water when I started the exercise after a big glass of water, that the water would slosh in my stomach. And then I, like a child, asked my creator, "What is wrong with my water?" And within less than 24 hours, I find myself walking on the sidewalk, and I see this bookshop window, and I see a title called Living Water.
Right.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Wow.
So I raised it and I opened up the book. It was a book describing the lifelong work of a gentleman, a forester, naturalist, philosopher, and inventor from Austria and Europe called Victor Schauberger. And more and more people are getting to know his name. There's wonderful books written about him, foremost by the foremost expert on him, in my opinion, is a guy called, and also called, Callum Coates, who's been writing a number of books. I actually gave him some of my units, which is the Vortex Water Revitalizer that I designed several years after this experience with the water sloshing in my stomach, and I still have a tea machine. And lo and behold, the water is no longer sloshing in my stomach, because now it's instantly absorbed in the body. And that's the real trick. That's what people also experience when they go out and get the water from let's say, a spring, or even from a river or a lake. And the water will be instantly absorbed by your body. And when you swim in the lake or the ocean or the river, or you lie in a mountain spring in Iceland, for instance, or Switzerland, I know you're going both places, then you will experience that your skin and your hair become super, super soft. And that's the same when you use the Vortex water revitalizer. And what it does is it takes the water into a cycloid curved spiraling space on both sides of the spiral inside, which is inside all of my units, which are made of pipes or tubes, and for all kinds of applications like house, apartment, industry, agriculture, hospitals, you name it, wastewater treatment, anything. It's this double helix DNA-type spiral design that the water is traveling through in this cycloid curved spiraling space that is present inside all of the units. So it has. I just got an interesting feedback from Japan, and the guy, he wrote in a very, very compact manner. He wrote about his experience, and what he got was the kitchen Vortex water revitalizer. And if he had had a house and installed the whole house model, then he would also have had the same experience. But I'll just see if I can find it here. His writing. Dear Mika, I'm very satisfied with the kitchen revitalizer. First time I'm staying hydrated. My skin has improved. Energy levels and endurance increased. I notice the sink drain is resistant to mildew buildup. That's a very compact. It's covering like five areas. Hydration, skin improved, energy levels up, endurance increased, and resistance towards mildew buildup.
Wow. Well, I want to tell everyone that my friend Mikkel Lund is the real deal. He has these incredible water revitalization devices, which are reasonably priced. And you, once the water goes through these devices, the water is softer. It's a live water versus a lot of water in tap water across North America and around the world is dead water because it's forced through these different pipes, and it's lost its vitality. And one thing amazing what you've done, Mike Mikkel, is to recreate the processes in nature where water is literally revitalized through like a waterfall or a river. And the water, it not only tastes good, but it's also healthy for you, and it restores vitality to the water.
That's right. It's a win-win-win-win-win situation.
Yeah, you win, absolutely.
The environment wins, your animals win, the air wins, the earth wins, and body comfort too.
Everyone wins.
Decent,
yeah.
Because we'll become a better part of the cosmic family. More clean.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Mikkel, what's your, it's www, for more information, www.alivewater.com, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, Mikkel, I'm so sorry. Yeah, we have to go on to our next guest, but I wanted to bring you on briefly so you could introduce yourself to people, and I'll definitely be bringing you back again. And for everyone listening out there today, if you want to try some incredible water products from Mikkel, he's a wonderful man, and he's got some great products. Again, his website is www.alivewater.com. Thanks, Mikkel, so much for coming on today. I really appreciate
it.
Okay, take care, Mikkel. Bye-bye. And with that, I'd like to welcome my next guest, James Redfield of the Celestine Prophecy. James, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Ted. How are you?
Oh, good. It's good to reach you. You know, through the modern technology, you're in the U.S., and I'm actually in London, England tonight, traveling, giving presentations here. And it sounds like you're just right next door.
Well, that's great. That's great. Glad you're traveling.
Thank you. Somebody's got to support the airlines. So well, it's so good to have you on again. You'll be coming to the Northwest, into Portland, I believe on July 27th to the Unity Church in downtown Portland, James, for people who'd like to meet you.
That's correct. Yeah, we're going to have an event there, and it's we probably ought to get the time correct. Let's see. Let me just look real. That's at 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m., and that's at the Unity of Portland. So it's part of the Self-Esteem Prophecy Inspiration Tour. I'm very, very excited and having a good time meeting people around the United States so far.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I plan to be there, James, and I can't wait to meet you in person.
Well, that'd be fun. I'll enjoy meeting you as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. By the way, did you get the books that I sent you? I don't know if you did or not. I hope you did.
I did. Yes.
Oh, good.
I did. I know.
Good.
They're here. They're sort of en route to me, but they've arrived.
Oh, good, good. My faith in the Postal Service has been restored.
Well, I know what you mean by that.
No, we have an excellent postal service, and we have many hardworking employees in our postal service. But that was just a joke. So I'm so glad that that they're there. Well, I read your The Secret of Shambhala book many years ago, and I've been rereading it again now. You talk about energy and how human beings are supposed to live more than 150 years, but you write we eat in a way that immediately begins to destroy us, and we see people disincorporating before our very eyes, but it doesn't have to be that way. That was an amazing quote, James. You had so many amazing messages in that book and in all of your books.
Yeah, I think that we're just touching an understanding, really, and it's from the research, but we're understanding how to live a longer life, how to live at a higher energy level, how to navigate through this world in a way that's less stressful. And I really think it's a new time out there. We've talked about this before. I think it's a new time. We've got really three generations who are asking the deeper questions again, and
right.
That's causing a lot of the books about consciousness to be passed around once more. Self-Esteem Prophecy is certainly one of those. That's why I'm out, with the new release of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I put in a new afterword, which reaches out to millennials and their children. So we definitely have baby boomers, but two other huge generations beginning to tune into consciousness, and that's changing everything.
Right.
A lot of people feel it. A lot of people see it. Activity like meditation, for instance. If you Google meditation now, you get the phone book. More people are meditating in the world now than ever before. So it's reason to be very, very encouraged, I think, about where we can go. And again, my message out there now is that, look, we're putting this together. We know how to interpret and maybe integrate this with all the research and exploration that happened in the last 40 years. That belong to the human potential movement, which covers, all the psychology, all the, the depth and philosophy of those years, but also the health. And as you say, we're reaching our potential in health, and that means the right kind of water. We're drinking activated water, and we're moving into blowing past the coping devices that hold us back and we're moving into a time of super creativity, and you just feel it building.
What do you think life will be like in 5 or 10 years, James? Do you think people will be able to communicate telepathically and feel each other's energies and see energies and auras like in the Celestine prophecy?
Well, you know, I think that we're in the next 10 years we'll be blowing through a kind of stressful political era, and that we're, you know, we're going to, once we get past that, we'll be able to, you know, we're going to reach a kind of consciousness critical mass, in my view.
Right.
And what happens there is that it'll just simply seem like we're all more peaceful and we're all more centered and we're all realize the activation in this world. You want to be lucky, be a giver. And the majority of the people are giving. We have to sort of heal this corruption. There's a lot of corruption in the world from economic distortions and political political groups that really control too much of the political world. And, you know, we're moving past that, though. You know, the cure for that kind of fear, and that's all corruption is based on fear. You know, you have to cheat to get, find security in the material world. And, well, you know, we're going to, when we move into getting our security and our kind of inspiration from within, you know, with connecting and with a kind of our higher intelligence, you know, our intuitive intelligence, you know, that then we begin to become more intuitive and we make the right decisions and, you know, we follow a higher kind of calling. And what happens is that all these synchronicities, you know, mysterious coincidences start to happen in our life more often. I mean, they happen to everybody already. But once we get a flow of these in the service of kind of a creative mission that we all have and are finding, and once these last two generations, you know, the millennials and their children are already the majority population on the planet. And so that's a lot of consciousness that's looking for answers, and I think they're finding those answers now. You know, I'm very, very positive about the next 50 years, and I think we're going to be able to break through to a more honest politics, not just here in the States or in the democratic world, but everywhere. It's going to be a kind of morphing into a live democratic expression without corruption, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Well, I can't wait, James. What a wonderful prophecy for the future. You've written in this book, in The Secret of Shambhala, that in reality, energy doesn't come from the things around us, although we can absorb energy directly from some plants and sacred sites. You write that sacred energy comes from our connection to the divine inside of us. Everything around us, both natural and man-made, flowers, rocks, grass, mountains, art, is already majestically beautiful and present beyond anything most people can perceive. And so when we open up to the divine, we raise our energy vibration so that we can view the world in a way it already is. And then you also talk about the Dakini, or angels as well, which is which I love that discussion about that in your book.
Well, we have a lot of help that we're not utilizing. And, you know, most of it comes from the afterlife dimension. You know, we're separated by the thinnest of veils between this dimension and the afterlife, from which we come and to which we return. We come here on a mission. You know, we're always wondering what, you know, that something seems missing until we download a kind of memory of why we came. And that That means mm-hmm. everybody. We all, mm-hmm. every level. It doesn't have to be anything spectacular or notable or even, you know, it just has to be a mission where we are in place, wherever we work, whatever our lifestyle is, that makes the world better. And if the right. truth, we have to find our truth that we embody and talk to others about in our lives, and that gives us an inspiration. And mm-hmm. and we're our birthright is to have inspiration all the time. That inspiration energy, you know, the sense of oh my God, I have a destiny unfolding in the world, and I'm really mm-hmm. Trying to find my truth to tell the world. Once I find it, it'll mm-hmm. get stronger, mm-hmm. and better, and I'll be directed intuitively of you know, who to say it to, and I create all these synchronicities in the people I meet. You know, that's the life that we're, you know, that's possible, and that right. and that is waiting for us. And of course, that's what Felicity Prosley and the other book point to. And little by little, that we're stepping into that consciousness and realize that the world was designed to be that way all along. And all we're doing is realizing that, no, we don't live in a dead universe that's either boring or scary. Right. We live in a universe of great inspiration that's possible for each of our individual lives, no matter what's going on. Because there's a way through the pain to this inspiration energy, and that's always the cure.
Wow, what a wonderful concept. You know, I want to throw this idea out to you, James. I always like to look at the good in people and the beautiful side of people. And in a way, humanity, all of us here on this planet Earth, are like little snowflakes, each with their own little individualized beauty in them. And if you look at a snowflake, once a snowflake comes down in a snowstorm, each individual snowflake is different from all the other snowflakes in the storm in a coming down. But the humanity, I think, is like that. With their own beauty within each person.
But that's right. And their own truth. You know, we have
sure.
a truth to tell. You know, we're all,
right.
you know, we all have a different set of experience.
Mm-hmm.
We all look at the world, and, you know, in a generally positive way we can. But
right.
there's always a truth that we have, and it's ours, that we discover. And, you know, what it becomes is, been our mission to share that truth in a positive
right.
way, moving, and it's always about moving the world in a positive direction.
Wow, that's good, very inspirational. You write about Shambhala, of course, in your books. Have you been there yourself many times, James?
You know, Shambhala is a place that you wander into, and
okay.
I can say yeah. I can say yeah.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a mythic place, of course.
Right.
Shambhala is really there. There are, you know, there are portals to the other side. In other words, there, you know, I spent a lot of time in old growth forest, deep in the forest. You know, you walk 2 miles into a deep forest.
Right.
And you know, the energy is different. And most people mm-hmm. never do that. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's not a scary thing. You know, it's about, you know, getting into the vibration of that natural world.
Right.
But then you know, you start to meet people, and it seems ordinary at first, and then all of a sudden you realize, you know, these encounters were, you know, I was interacting with people in a culture that is not ordinary at all, and
mm-hmm.
so anyway, you can get glimpses and you can get sort of episodes. I can't go out and pick out a place to lead people to,
sure,
because it's much more mysterious than that. When,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, there are they just that's. This dimension, they're halfway point between this dimension and the purely spiritual dimension, the afterlife. And that's what I think of as Shambhala.
Wow. Well, in that context, you talk about the prayer of power in your book, in your books and writings, and you write that that the force of prayer is real, but it depends upon the most effective prayer is not a request, but as an affirmation. Could you give us an example of that?
Sure. You know, just look at the Lord's Prayer from the Christian Bible, Jewish Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, the mythology is that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he did not pray in a request. He prayed in a declaration. You know, he didn't say, right, "Please, if you don't mind, have Thy kingdom come." He says, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." Give us this day our daily bread. Not, please, if you don't mind, would you drop a few morsels? You know, the power is in
that's right,
the full declaration
of
what you envision for your life. Now, it's the only tricky part about prayer, and it's really a kind of power of intention. And the tricky part is making sure that you know what you're requesting, know what you're affirming that you want to happen. In other words, if that comes from a kind of ego need for more security or more money, and it's don't get me wrong, it's okay to pray for abundance in your life, including security and flow of money. You know, I think all the scriptures and various religions, all the saints, you know, they're pretty clear about if it's a selfish prayer, then you might get what you want. You know, if all you want is a pink Cadillac, then you might get that. But you might get a reminder that your soul is waiting to tune in to spiritual consciousness. Yeah, if it's an ego manifestation you're trying for, then you're always going to get lessons involved in it that are there to wake you up into the real consciousness and the real manifestation that comes from your desire to do something positive in the world. So
I have to share this little story with you, James, and I'd love your comment on it. I used to watch, I loved to watch Twilight Zone when I was younger. And there was one episode where this gentleman was given three wishes. And the second wish, he said he wanted to be the dictator. He was egotistic and he wanted to be the dictator of a country without any possibility of being removed. So he got his wish all right. He became Adolf Hitler, and the date was like spring of 45, just before he ended. You know, he was the end in Nazi Germany, and then he had his last wish was just to restore him to the simple man he was. So that's what his wish was fulfilled, but not in the way he wanted it to be.
Right. Well, the other thing to remember, you know, try to keep your ego out of it, but.
Right.
Because, yeah, you know, it's limited. It's limited what you can create with your life. But the real power is when you know you're being guided towards something that needs to manifest. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from a kind of intuitive place, and it feels inspiring, like just want to create this, you know, you want to do this, and then, you know, there's a power of intention that can come out.
Mm-hmm.
So that, as long as you're doing doing good in the world,
right,
doing it, you know, to manifest ideas and surroundings and that are in alignment with the evolution of the world toward more positivity and more unity and all those things, then your power can get unbelievably powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your intention can can really make a difference. And I believe that, you know, enough people that I know and that you know, in around the world that are manifesting incredible things with intuition.
Right.
And it's some, and again, but it's karmic. You know, you want to be a giver, not a taker.
Right.
You're not going to, you can't be powerful if you're using it for personal ego needs or any of those kinds of things. It has
right.
to be
right.
pure giving
right.
to the world. And of course, you want to be abundant with money. I always talk about, in my workshops, you know, I always talk about the secret of karmic alignment. If you get mm-hmm. aligned with the karmic design of this world, you become incredibly lucky, and you become incredibly helped. You find you're helped all the time. If you're a giver, you draw in more givers into your life, and they're
right.
there to help you.
Right.
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 So
right.
We're putting it all together now. How to live this incredible spiritual life. All these discoveries have been made. We know how to do that.
I hope you don't mind me asking you this question, James, but let's say, hypothetically, you're in a meeting right now with the board of directors of Monsanto, which of course does a lot of genetic manipulation. And in your book, you write that some people are taking the natural processes of food and distorting it by genetically manipulating seeds to have unnatural characteristics. This is primarily done in order to patent these seeds and control them in the marketplace. And the same thing's happening, of course, in the pharmaceutical industries, where a known herbal remedy, free to all, genetically altered, to sell it and to make a lot of money off of it. What advice would you have to the corporate executives, to Monsanto? Change your ways?
I would tell them that, you know, there's a better life waiting for them, because
mm-hmm.
people who manipulate and distort for money and power, they don't have a happy life. You say, well, they got all this money and all. They do not
right.
have a happy life. They have a life of dark fear. And because that's what it's like if you live on the dark side. It's dark
right.
fear. And
mm-hmm.
it is, you know, you it in lack and you know, they become more and more deaf as they go. These executives in these kinds of corporations, they don't last long. They burn out.
Right.
It's a darkness machine. And
mm-hmm.
you know what I would say is it's a better life waiting for you. You know, mm-hmm. you can break through to, you know, a source of inspiration, love, and security, immense self-security, no matter what's happening. You don't need all the money and power that you're looking for.
Right.
You never find
right.
it. It never brings you happiness. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the old story about light versus dark. And
mm-hmm.
let me tell you, the shift is happening, you know. People are leaving these dark places because there's enough of us that talk about, you know, spiritual connection and the fact that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the reporters have it all wrong. You know, the good don't die young. They have magnificent lives and longer ones. That's all just mythology. You know,
mm-hmm.
the fact is you can have a life where you're not, you know, there's all these things where every good deed is never goes unpunished.
Yeah.
That's
right.
all, yeah, that's all what you tell yourself is you don't do many good deeds.
Right.
Because, you know, what's happening out there is that people are joining the light side. And it seems like there's darkness and, there's materialism and social media squelching anything that talks about spiritual reality and all that. Well, that's happened. But they're fading. They're fading away.
Right.
Because the big movement is towards spiritual consciousness. You know, we're not thinking, we don't no longer think we have to wrap this in religious doctrine, that we just It's just,
right.
you know, spirituality is just doctrine. It's not. It's
right.
Spirituality is the only higher consciousness. We can meditate all day long, but if it's not meditation seeking spiritual connection, you know, with its highest self within us, the real, you know, the real thing, then we're, you know, we're just waiting for it. But enough people know now
right.
that the light side, the spiritual side, this inspiration that helps the world.
Right.
Yeah, there's all the anger out there is not the majority of the population. You know, it's the
right.
media.
Right.
There's a lot of the political people, because that's all they have is anger and criticism. So,
right.
you know,
right.
left and right scream at each other right now. But they're doing the screaming, but it's fewer people than you think doing the screaming. Most people
yeah, right.
live a life of goodness where they love their children, they love everybody else's children, they want everybody to have a happy life. This is at least 95% of the population of the planet live in that space. It's just that the powers of the economy are sort of hijacked by these corporate forces. But that's not going to last forever.
Right, right. Well, I have to tell you, you talk about prayers of intention and your fields of prayers and intentions, and I think you're giving me a good positive effect, James. I don't know whether you've experienced this before, but this was going on earlier tonight too, where the time on my computer, I've had several different times tonight. I have a watch which give me, I think it's the real time in London, which is quarter to midnight here, and then my computer, which has been varying all night, it speeded up 10, 15, 20 minutes, and then it went back to what the time is on my watch, and now it's speeded up again. So I feel like I'm on some sort of energy vortex, some sort of time dimension here. As I told my producer earlier, if I fade out into another dimension, just we've got music to play, so I guess we'll fill up the rest of the hour that
way. Well, you sound especially succinct and centered, so that whatever's happening seems to be a good thing to me.
Yeah, I think it's a good vibration, and I think your energy intention has certainly helped me tonight. And who knows? Maybe we have some executives of Monsanto listening today, and they may have had an aha moment and decided, yes, James is right. So, you know.
Well, they should try the, you know, step over. Just one little step over into the light side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to
mm-hmm.
stay in the darkness.
Right, exactly. Baby steps, if you will. You know, you've done so much, James. I remember reading your Celestine Prophecy book back in the 90s, and that really helped me on my spiritual path. And I've talked to a lot of my friends as well, and you're still helping people on your spiritual path. And I want to thank you so much for your beautiful spiritual work, because you've really helped propel humanity as a whole into this new dimension, better dimension.
Well, thank you. And I want to make a request to everybody listening out there. You know,
okay.
help. Let's pass all these spiritual books that meant something to us. Let's pass them to millennials. You know, don't let them just sit on the shelf. I talk
okay.
to people all the time. They all have 2 or 3 copies
okay.
of themselves in prophecy. I think, will you give them to a millennial? Give them to a college
sure.
student. You know, pass them around, because, you know, they're ready for it. They're ready to,
right.
to enter this journey that some of us remember happened at the beginning. But it's,
right.
you know, there's 2 new generations. They're huge. If they go spiritual, it will make a big difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm also fundraising now for a new book, for a new library for the Hopi Indians in Arizona, James, because the Hopis don't have a functioning basic library. They have some bookmobiles, but there's no center for libraries or for books where young people and adults can read. And it's tragic. And I was down there in April, and I was taken aback about they didn't have anything like that. So I'm fundraising now. So if you got spiritual books, send them to me, or any books. My address is P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington, 98509 in the United States, and it'll be the seed of a new library. We've already gotten in $1,000, and we're getting additional monies in and books as well. So, but you're right. We can also give those books to millennials because they're sincerely interested in this topic, and they're hungry for new ideas.
That's right, and I think it's great what you're doing with the Hopi. You know, they've got a spiritual message for the rest of us, and the young Hopi people will, you know, they have this rich heritage of spirituality, and mm-hmm. You know, it's really important to nurture them, nurture the young people in those areas, and so count me in on that. That's great.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know. You know, I always like to talk about tithing, and I'm not talking about to a particular church or institution necessarily, right?
Right.
I'm talking
right.
about
right.
Take part of your money and put it in your pocket, no longer yours, and use your intuition to figure out who you should give it to.
Right.
And don't send it to me, by the way, because I'll just pass it forward. But it's a process. It's an activation in the world.
Right.
And,
right.
It's amazing what happens because it opens up your intuition. If you're thinking, if you're asking your higher intelligence, you know what? Okay, you know what should I do with this money? And something will happen. Somebody in need will bump into you, maybe, or people driving dilapidated cars and have them break down right in front of me, you know?
Really? Oh, how funny.
Oh, yeah.
How funny.
And I take it as a sign, okay, hey, I can help with this car. I can help with that. So it's part of the vision, you know, the selfing vision, if you want. It's part of the vision to understand what would happen if everyone was given, say, 10% of their money to those to situations in need.
Sure, absolutely.
We would have trillions of dollars, of dollars to clean up the environment. You know, to rescue the rainforest, to intervene in. With every child in poverty, to you know, create a wonderful education system, to be able to sponsor clean food for people to eat, you know, that that can't afford it, and so just there's just it, we can fix it all. We can fix it all.
Yeah.
With the power of tithing, and believe me. You know, I didn't have any money in the world ever until I started tithing. So I'm this big, you know, this is part of the, this is not religious. This is part of the spiritual design of this, of the dimension that we live in. If you give, giving comes back to you in all kinds of ways.
Right, right.
And so it's never money. That you're going to miss. I mean, you might miss it when it first goes out the door. But believe me, you'll become lucky. You'll become amazingly lucky. And your abundance will come to you. And it's something that absolutely you can prove to yourself. And I like to say this, you know, especially to all the skeptics. You know, this is thinking this is just a dead material universe that we have to try to have as much fun as we can. You know, it's not like that. There's a design, and once we step into that design, it's amazing what can happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't agree with you more, James. What wonderful words of wisdom! And also, I believe, as you do, in the power of prayer. And so, I did spill some tea on my computer earlier tonight, so it's not completely dry. But I'm asking everyone to send say lots of prayers for my computer tonight so it will dry out. Okay, I think it will. But anyway.
Well, we could, it just takes a second to, create an affirmation that reality come to be.
Sure, absolutely. We've got about, let's see now. I'm having a problem with the time because I'm not sure what, I think we've got 8 minutes left, but I'm not sure. 5 minutes, okay, great. James, what advice would you give to people who want to make the world a better place now, if they're, or young people who want to make the world a better place?
Well, become a better, a more conscious person, and it's not very hard. We know how to do it now. Go study, meditate, read books, come to one of the Salting Prophecy Inspiration Tour events. We're going to be doing this through the whole year. We're going to be in a lot of cities. Our event lasts about 3 hours, but what we talk about is this synthesis, this integration of what we know brings on the good life and the high creativity life and the life that on purpose and the discovery of personal mission and how to download your intuitive intelligence. And we'll talk about all that, and we leave people with a set of practices. You can't it's not going to take overnight. But we leave you with a set of practices that are opening, that open the heart, open your intelligence, that's what changes the world. Living at a higher level of consciousness.
And I want to tell people too, and I want to share this with you, James, and ask for your opinion. I think the basic nature of human nature of people is to be kind, benevolent, and giving, not to be fighting all the time. I think that's an unnatural human state. But I think the basic nature of people to be is loving and caring and giving.
Yeah, and you just have to break through the coping devices that hold back, the addictions into, a giving attitude. And when you start giving, you start to get, you build your energy, you build your wisdom, you build your creative power. And we know how to do that in this world.
Absolutely. I think we've got about 2 minutes left or so, James. And I wanted to tell you that so you could wrap up your wonderful interview today.
I'm sorry. Oh, let me take it over?
Go ahead. I want to give you the rest of the time. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Good. It's a, in a minute, what I would like to say is don't underestimate the world, especially if you're young. You really don't download all your power until you're about 42. So take it in big gulps, but open up, learn, read everything. But think about consciousness. Think about spirituality. This is a spiritual world we live in. Again, we figured it out. There are many, many good books out there, and it's wake up time. Millennials are hitting 38, and that's a astrological position in life that affects all generations. And it's asking the big question: what I want to do with my life? What I really want to create while I'm here, and just step into that new consciousness. And I would ask everybody who knows what I'm talking about, give a spiritual book that you love to a millennial and to a college student.
That's wonderful.
The best thing you can do right now.
Wonderful. Well, James, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. And everyone, if you are in the Portland area, please come see James on July 27th at the Unity Church. And also, if you're in England this Thursday, I'll be at the Watkins Books from on Thursday, June 13th, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. And James, have a beautiful day. And thank you again, everyone, so much for listening to Out of This World Radio. Together, I know we can create a much better and happier world. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Bye-bye.
Kanata ni hikaru.